The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
And welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Hey, make sure you guys check out SeanGreenShow.com. That is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on WGNPlus.com. Only the hottest podcasts go up on WGNPlus.com. If you want to stalk me on Facebook, you most certainly can. It's Sean Green Show Media if you want to check me out on Facebook. On Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. I have a jam-packed show for you today. Man, it's just so much stuff that I've run into when I'm here at WGN Studios. And one of the good things about, you know, being here at WGN Studios is the people that you run into. And I ran into Steve Albini. And if you don't know who this guy produced and recorded so many classic rock albums, and most notably Nirvana's In Utero album, their last studio album before Kurt Cobain died. I just ran into him downstairs, and a super cool dude. So big shout out to Steve Albini for even actually just acknowledging me. That dude is total royalty. Now back to what I was originally going to do. All right. I got somebody on the Super Celebrity Hotline right now. Sam Phillips. Man, if there was ever somebody that I would classify as somebody that works like super hard, even harder than myself, as far as radio and doing all this other stuff. She's a writer for Penthouse Magazine. She's a host at XM Radio, Vivid Radio. Oh, my gosh. She does so much stuff. And she's on a Super Celebrity Hotline with me right now, Sam Phillips. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, my God, Sean. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm super excited to talk a bunch of sex stuff.
Oh, man. It's one thing I love to talk about is sex. And it seems that when I have certain people on, without bringing up any names, they seem to cringe when I bring up the, you know, subject of sex. And I'm like, I need to have somebody that's comfortable with talking about sex. And, you know, my producer was like, hey, you should talk to Sam Phillips. He's cool. I listen to her. And she may be comfortable with talking about this with you. And I'm like, you know what? Let's give it a try and see what happens. And you just have so much stuff going on. And I'm like, this woman works super hard. You totally beat me out as far as in the work category. So congrats on that.
Well, you know what? I have to say, Sean, you're, I'm sure, a young, hot DJ. I'm an old, decrepit DJ. I'm going to be 50 years old, dude, in February. So let's just say I've been around on this planet a super long time. My mom threw me out when I was a teenager, and literally I took to the streets. All I completed was ninth grade. So I have no formal education. I'm completely self-taught. I became a model, an international teen model, lived in Europe, came back to the States when I got my first starring role in a movie. I thought I was going to be a big actress. I suck. I'm much better at being myself and speaking my mind. And I ended up, you know, sort of gravitating towards radio. And I realized I had a gift for gab and the ability to talk about kind of saucy topics without crossing the line. And in all of my travels, I realized that, yeah, I'm a smart girl. I have a good head on my shoulders. In doing radio for as long as I've done radio, a lot of my shows were of the sex or dating genre. I'm like the go-to person that all my friends call with their problems. I'm a self-proclaimed sexpert. I've had a ton of sex in my day, and I know it works for me. I know it works for my friends, and it's easy when people come to you with their problems to go, oh, there's a pattern there. I've seen it before. That's a red flag. You should definitely head for the door. You know, it's just when you do it for so long, like radio, when you do it for a super long time, it becomes like second nature to you.
Yeah.
So discussing sex, dating, and relationships is literally second nature to me.
Wow. And since we're on the subject of sex, one thing I definitely want to bring up was the Ashley Madison scandal. And if you've been under a rock, and for those that's listening, you know, 38 million accounts were hacked and exposed as far as, you know, Ashley Madison. And one thing that I got from this entire fiasco was the amount of men that were on there, and now recently it's found that more women are actually signing up for Ashley Madison. Do you think it's women that want to find out if their husbands are cheating, or if it's women that honestly do want to have an affair?
Wow, I think it's probably a combination of both. I don't know how, if you signed up, that you can potentially find your husband. Well, I guess you can just cruise through the profiles and hopefully find your guy. But I do believe that, you know, there's many reasons why people end up cheating. You're not getting what you want at home. You're misunderstood. No one listens to you. The sex sucks. Everything's become boring. The person's become your best friend and not your lover. You take each other for granted. I mean, there's just a million things. You stop trying. You forget to have date nights and make your mates feel special. You know, and women are more prone to the more emotional aspect of the relationship. Men are more physically minded. Women are more emotionally minded. So if you're not getting what you want from your guy, you'll turn to your girlfriends. You'll turn to your guy friends, your gay friends, your ex-boyfriends, in order to feel like someone's understanding you or listening to you or gets you, especially when you feel like your mate has checked out or, you know, is potentially having, cheating on you.
Yeah.
So I think that women are now, listen, I think women cheat just as much as guys. You just don't know about it because we're a little bit more craftier.
Yeah, and I've been saying that for years, is that women, you know, and I've done my share of dirt, and I've dated women, you know, that had boyfriends, and I've been the cheater, so I'm never one to judge. But one of the things that I find so amazing about this whole Ashley Madison thing is that, you know, in this age, I always said when all this stuff broke, I was like, you know what? How come you just can't go to a bar and just find somebody that way instead of paying for something that may never happen? Because, I mean, these dating websites, you know, sometimes some of those profiles are just people that are paid to actually just be on that website and respond to men and or women.
Yeah, but you know what? There's several things on that. Like, you're paying for discretion. So whether or not you hook up with someone through one of those websites, you are guaranteed, I never say this word right, anonymity.
Yeah.
or what you think is to be anonymous. Anonymous. There you go. Yay. Through these dealings. And the sucky thing about that whole Ashley Madison thing, where I think that there was more outrage over this than the actual 38 million users or 39 million users that got hacked and their information came out, is the fact that, oh God, now I just forgot my point. What was my point? Help. Sometimes, Sean, do you ever do that?
Yeah, I always have those little brain farts. Yeah.
Damn, it was something about, well, you keep going and I'm sure it'll hit me. I'll be like, oh my God.
Well, no, I mean, it's one of, like I said, it's with everything that's going on right now, even with the internet and especially with Facebook, because I recently started doing Facebook about 3-4 years ago, because I was so against Facebook. And it was because I heard so many horror stories from women that were like, yeah, I had a boyfriend and he was, you know, cheating on me with this girl that he used to go to high school with on Facebook, or just some random chick, you know, that he hooked up with just on, you know, Facebook. So I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to, you know, go out and do some dirt, I'm just going to physically go out and do it and not go on, you know, the internet and just pay for it. That's just me. But everybody has their own.
I know. I now know what my point was the thing that was so crazy not just the names, but the fact that Ashley Madison had a feature with their website for the person on it, that if you paid $19, that your information would be wiped out of their computer banks. I think it's like when you leave or you close out your account, they give you an option for $19, they will wipe you out of the computer. Well, they never wiped anybody out of the computer.
Right, and that was the whole thing, because once you're on the internet, I mean, everything is pretty much out there, no matter what. Even when you're like on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all this stuff, when you first sign up, you want it so much, and you want that instant gratification that you agree to this and you agree to that, not knowing that you're giving up all this information, like your contacts on your phone and all this other stuff. So I'm really careful about what, you know, social media sites I deal with, which is why I'm probably like super slow with, you know, joining like Instagram, because everybody's like, Brian, get on Instagram, Brian. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. And I'm like, I'm so scared to do it. I don't want my information out there.
Don't be scared. Take the leap of faith. You can do it. Instagram is harmless. They don't even let you post anything naked on there. Trust me, you're good.
Oh, okay. Well, we should be fine with that.
You know what you need to get on? Are you on Periscope yet?
Yes, I am on Periscope, and I think that is awesome. I love Periscope. I have a friend of mine. He's a producer here at WGN, and he's like the only friend that I have on Periscope right now. And so, like, he'll do stuff with his cat, and I'll just watch him play with his cat. You know, and I'm not really a cat lover, but I think it's pretty cool just to watch him play with his cat sometimes. So,
hey, I mean, if you become a cat lover, you'll get more trim. Girls love guys who love cats.
Oh, well, I guess I'll start doing more cat stuff then.
Yeah, you should post an entire Instagram account of just cats. So I have to tell you something. I have a Hollywood producer guy friend. I will not name his name. He's a big-time producer. And he told me, I said to him one day, so-and-so, you're always posting, like, these adorable pictures of dogs and puppies and cats and this, that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, how do you think I get laid? He goes, all the older ladies on Facebook, they love it, because this guy's a little bit older, they love the fact that I love animals. And he goes, I don't even need to walk around the neighborhood with a dog. I just post pictures of dogs, and I get laid.
Oh, wow.
Like, whoa. That's something. Oh, you know what I wanted to tell you, Sean, also?
Yeah.
So when we were talking about, like, paying for the discretion, like you said, why would someone, like, pay and join a site and so on and so forth? I came across an app for your phone, which I wanted to share with you, which is really super cool. It's called Invisible Girlfriend, or there's one for girls called Invisible Boyfriend. So I also write for a website called socialunderground.com. They're like on the cutting edge of all cool things and technology, entertainment, lifestyles, all that kind of stuff. So I have a weekly column. In fact, my last week's column, Buck Cherry is a 90s rock band.
Yeah, I love Buck Cherry.
Right. They just came out with a new song called Tight Pants. And in honor of their Tight Pants song, I picked the 10 best butts in the porn industry. And they happen to all be my friends, these porn stars. So I asked them for a quote. Like, what do you like about wearing tight pants? So I did this whole big article. What is it? I don't even know what it's called. Oh, the rump race or in the porn world or something. If you guys just go to...
Yeah, I'm actually on it right now. And it was... And I watched a pretty good amount of porn. And there was a couple of names I thought for sure would have been in there, and it wasn't in there, and I was going to ask you about that. I'm like, okay, how come this person... Okay, the first person I wanted to ask you about and who is not on this list is Cherokee Diaz. How come she's not in there?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you why the people that are in there are in there, as opposed to telling you why the people aren't in there aren't in there.
Okay, cool. All right.
So on The Single Life, which is what I do on Vivid Radio, Sirius XM 791 and vividradio.com, is a show called The Single Life. And for the longest time, I had the coolest black chick co-host named Yanira Johnson. She's since gone on to do other stuff. So I have a seat open. And every week, I'm on Thursday and Friday from noon to 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I'm on for an hour twice a week, and I like to play with people on air. My biggest, like, fear is having to, like, host my show by myself. And it's not even a fear. I just think it sounds funner and more entertaining when you have someone to play off of.
Yeah, definitely. So, I feel the same way because I sit here, and I feel like I'm so stupid when I'm sitting here talking, you know, by myself.
I feel like I talk to myself. Yeah. Like, what would I say to my own self to entertain myself?
Right.
And that might not be the most entertaining thing that other people want to hear me say.
Right.
So I end up having a porn star on my show twice a week, different ones. I have my favorites for sure who are really good talkers. They've got tons of personality. They have great stories to tell. They're popular, so on and so forth. So I have my favorites, but I'm always open for someone new.
Okay.
I feel like at this time, I've had the majority of girls in the adult industry on my show. The ones that I have not had on my show are not on my list.
Ah.
So to be fair, I kept it within the stars that I'm friendly with because I know so many of them. And I just figured either it would be girls I do not know, the 10 best butts, or the girls I do know, 10 best butts. So I just kept it to the girls I know, the girls who come on my show. So therefore, when someone says, well, how come I wasn't on your list, which I have gotten girls saying, I'm like, girl, when was the last time you were on my show?
Oh, okay. That's duly noted. Yeah.
Well, then, girl, how can you be on my list? So I figured because I didn't want to be rude. And also, even with the 10 best butts, some of them were like, why am I number whatever? Why aren't I? I'm like, and here's how I did that, too. Between me, you, and your listeners, a lot of how I decided who would be number one. Well, I definitely had favorite butts. Like, there's three girls that just have the most insane asses in the entire world that had to be on my list. One was Raven Bey. It's like this bubble that doesn't even seem like it's real. One is Courtney Taylor.
Oh, my God. Courtney. Oh, I'm looking at that right now, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, definitely.
The one is Delano. And Nikki Delano is like, that picture that we use doesn't do her ass justice. Like, she just has, it's not, and for me to come up with 10 different creative ways to describe hot butts and different ways to describe it in the intro of the article, that one took me a little while because I really wanted to do everyone justice. I didn't want people to be pissed off that they were number 8 or number 7, so I wanted to make sure what I wrote about them was really good so they felt honored. So here's how I really did it between me, you, and your listeners.
All right.
The first girl that got back to me, you're number 1. The second girl that got back to me, you're number 2. The third girl that got back to me, with all of your elements, meaning, give me, I need some photos of you, I need your quote, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, like in any industry, you need to be, you need to be professional, you need to be consistent. And the girls that got the elements to me immediately came in at 1, 2, 3, 4. And the girls I had to chase came in at, you know, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing that I noticed, too, and this has been a trend probably about for the last, like, 6 to 7 years, is America's fascination with big butts now. I mean, at one point, you know, when you mentioned big butts, I mean, it was only, you know, in the Black and Latino community. Now it's acceptable everywhere for everybody to have a nice ass. So, I mean,
I love these white chicks that get the implants and the injections to have a big butt. It's I'm like, girl, you're like 90 pounds soaking wet, and yet 20 of those pounds are your ass.
Right. And what's crazy is that, you know, I mean, they actually pay for this stuff, and I mean, guys go for it. I mean, because like you said, we're visual. But the one thing that amazes me is the amount of length that women go through to actually get it. Like some women, they do it and they do it illegally, and they risk their health just to have a big ass, you know. But me personally, I am an ass man. But it's nothing like a natural big ass. So that's me, you know.
I agree. In fact, number 10 on my list, Samantha Roan. Who, by the way, I should, in all fairness, say I didn't have to chase her. She was just the last person that I had contacted and who had gotten stuff back to me. And the last person that I met, like my newest friend out of all the girls on that list, she came on my show. Every day on Vivid Radio, we have like a question of the day, and the listener with the best tweet wins one of our Vivid Raw sex lines of sex toys. And whatever the question was, the day that Samantha Roan was on my show a couple weeks ago, she tweeted, she goes, "Oh, I promise you, this is going to be the tweet of the day." And I was like, "Oh, look at you, girl. What do you have to say?" She said nothing. She tweeted a gif of her butt doing a booty clap with nothing on.
Oh, wow.
I was like, "Wait a minute. Are you kidding me?" And I was so mesmerized. I just kept watching it. I'm like, and she doesn't have a specifically perfect butt. You know, it's definitely a bigger white girl butt. It's not like it's all like sculpted with muscles. It's just like a meaty ass. But it was mesmerizing. So she had to be on my list. I'm like, I need to put this girl on my list.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's why she's on my list.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw a woman do the booty clap. I went to this strip club here. It's like in the outskirts of Chicago. And this woman got in front of me and did that. And I was like, what? I'm like, do that one more time. And she did it. And I think I tipped her about $80 to $100 that night because I was like, keep doing it. So it's just one of those things that, you know, guys like it. So keep doing it. And that's what I always say. But I mean, yeah, I mean, America. America has a fascination with big butts now, and I like the fact that, you know, we've, you know, come around. Like I said, because, you know, back in the day, about 7 to 8 years ago, it was like taboo for, you know, it's even for a white girl to have like a nice ass or a big ass. You know,
let me ask you, who do you think was the person that opened up the door for big butts? person that you think was.
I can give you two. I can't really count her because she's Latino, but Jennifer Lopez, definitely, and Kim Kardashian, because that is art right there. I call it, that ass is art. You know, and as much hate as she gets, you know, you can't deny that. You know, it's like you hate her.
Art, the fact that it was sculpted, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't recall her having that big a badonkadonk when she was younger.
Well, see, I haven't really followed her as much back when she was, I think she was a Paris Hilton's friend. So I wasn't following her then. It was only around the time when she did, like, the Ray J stuff. And I'm like, okay, I see what you got back there. I see why he's messing with you. So when I saw that, I'm like,
ass was not that big in that Ray J tape. It was not as big as it is now.
Well, yeah, she probably has gotten work done. But I always say, if you can pay for it and it looks great, more power to you. I mean, I prefer you not to, but if it looks good on you, it looks good on you. Like, even guys that hate on her, and I always ask them this, if Kim Kardashian walked in the room right now and she offered you some of that, would you take it? And it always rolls back to, yeah, I would. As much as they hate it, I can't do this, I can't do that. But if she walked in that room, they're definitely going to screw. So it's, you can't deny it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. And so I'll say she was the one that kind of started it. But people did have a obsession with J-Lo's butt as well.
See, I think that J-Lo sort of opened the door for voluptuous women in general. When she stepped out on the red carpet of those Grammys in 2000 in that green Versace dress.
Oh, yes, yes, I love that.
At the Grammys, which is, you know, like a classy affair. Not to say that her dress wasn't classy, but it was definitely showcasing her considerable assets. And at the time, it was like, you know, Kate Moss was considered the hottest thing out there. So, like, here you go with this big, you know, voluptuous lady showing off all of her curves when, you know, the waif look was the thing that was in. people were like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of, like, opened the door for other women to go, you know what? I have a big ass. I'm sick of trying to make it small. I just want it to be big and celebrated. Thank you, J-Lo.
Now, have you ever thought about, like, getting an injection or implants yourself? Or
I have implant. You're going to die. So I've had 12 boob jobs.
Wow.
Not because I wanted to, because I kept having problems. Like, I really feel that certain women's body types are not meant to have foreign objects put inside of them. Ones that are really skinny, like myself, who have a normal size A boob, which is no boob. It's like invert a boob. those people should not get implants, in my opinion. What happens whenever you introduce something foreign into your body goes into attack mode and tries to, like, localize that thing so it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So basically, when you put implants in your body freaks out and starts creating scar tissue. So it forms all around your implant, but not in a uniform way. So there could be more scar tissue squeezing it on one side than the other. So this is when you walk into a strip club and you see those girls with those wonky boobs.
Yeah.
One's square, one's round. They look like baseballs. They're all ripply. One's off to the side. One's in the middle. That's encapsulation.
Yeah.
That's the body rejecting your implants. So that happened to me 11 times before this time.
Oh, wow. And see, with you explaining that, I had an ex when I was living out in California, and she had fake breasts, and they were, like, super hard. Because, I mean, I've dated my share of women with fake boobs, and, you know, the last one I can remember, I mean, hers felt natural, but the very first one I ever dated to have fake boobs, they were, like, super hard, and they were kind of lopsided a little bit. And I would never tell her that, but it was like, okay. I didn't know what was going on.
If you're listening.
But no, I mean, I mean, that's interesting because, you know, guys, I mean, we don't know what goes on as far as, like, the breast implants. All we see is, okay, it looks good, it doesn't look good, or what happened to you. Oh, we're like, oh, yeah, it's big, we like it.
But you guys suck, because you'll say it looks good when it doesn't look good. Like, when mine, I remember one of my ex-boyfriends, I was with him for many years, and you know, it's a period of time of, like, over a year that your boobs just go south. They just don't look good anymore. And he kept saying, babe, they're fine. I don't know what you're complaining about. I'm like, it's inverting. It looks completely deformed. What do you mean it looks fine? Please stop telling me it looks fine. Babe, I swear, it looks fine. So I'm like, either you don't care and you're just saying it, or you really just don't see the imperfections. And I don't believe either one.
Well, with that being said, we can be honest, but the minute we are honest, we're totally, like, attacked for being honest, which is why a woman can walk in the room and say, hey, does this outfit look good on me? And we'll be like, yeah, it looks great. You know, and it may not look as great. I mean, honestly, we really don't care. We're happy just being with you. Like, if I'm with you and we're going out, I'm with you. I'm not out with your outfit, or I'm not out with your boobs. I'm not out with your ass. And that's how I feel as a guy, and that's how most guys feel. So if they see something that they don't like, and you come to them like, hey, does this look this certain way? And, I mean, I'm going to tell you straight up, we're going to lie and say, yeah. We might not even like it in the first place.
I kind of feel like if the girl feels like she looks good, don't dash her hopes and dreams. Just be like, yeah, that looks great, babe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, when you're too honest with chicks, they then turn incredibly insecure, and then they think they always look bad, and they think they always look fat, and they think they always don't look good. Because, you know, you said it that one time, so it must be for every time.
Right, right. Now, one last thing I definitely wanted to ask you about is this female Viagra, because when I first read about this, and I was like, yes, they got female Viagra, which means they're going to be horned up all the time. You know, it's if I want to have sex, all they got to do is pop a pill. They'll want it too. And the more reading I've done on this, is that's not necessarily the case. What's your whole take on this whole female Viagra? Do you think this is actually needed, or do you think this is just something to make a profit for these drug companies?
Okay, good question. Okay, from what I've done on my reading with the female Viagra, it was created for a specific woman, and that woman is premenopausal or postmenopausal, and it's to treat sexual dysfunction. So here's what goes on. Like, guys listening, if you're married or you have a girlfriend and she's in her early 40s, even late 30s, if she's in, you know, those late 30s, early 40s, she could be hitting premenopause. So your body changes, your moods change. And that's the worst thing of all that happens with menopause. Yeah, you can't have kids anymore. Some women like the fact that you don't have a period anymore. But really what happens is your vagina atrophies. So, you know when you injure yourself and you wear a cast for 3 months and you take the cast off and your arm or your leg is like half the size of your other arm and leg and it doesn't move right and it hurts to the touch? Your muscles have atrophied because they haven't been worked.
Right.
So your vagina atrophies and your walls of your vagina become thinner. They like thin out like crepe paper as you get older. Another thing that happens is your ability to create lubrication goes away. So basically, sex hurts.
Oh.
Sex hurts women. A lot of women, a large majority of women, and some women will not tell you. There's things that you can do, personal lubricants. There's like estrogen creams that you can rub on the downstairs, put inside the downstairs, things to plump up the walls, give it some more moisture. But once your body, you know, it's getting older. So the female Viagra was developed not so much for those key things that happen to a woman's body, but more how they then affect your sexual desire, like your libido. So when you know that everything hurts, your chances are you going to rush to go have sex with your husband or boyfriend? Probably no, dude. You're probably going to want to avoid it, do other things so he doesn't do the thing that hurts you.
Right.
So this pill, from my research, is more along the lines of affecting, I'll tell you what it affects. Hold on. Where is it? I found something. Hold on. I cannot find it now.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, like with any pill, is like a bunch of side effects with this too. And, does that scare, as a woman, does that scare you as far as all the side effects that can actually happen with this female Viagra? And do you think that...
I'll tell you something. I personally won't take it. It's not just side effects. It's long-term effects. Like, this is something that is new on the market. Tell me about it in 30 years. Like, what's it do to people in the long term as opposed to the short term? I don't take me. I'm going to be 50 in February. I'm in, like, post-menopause. To be personal, I haven't had a period in 3 years. And, yeah, I'm one of those people where the sex sometimes does hurt, dude. It's just you have to be really turned on. You have to really like the person that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it definitely removes casual hookups from the equation. Because who wants to casually hook up just to be, like...
Hurt, yeah. Hurt? Now, with that being said, I mean... Do you have that desire to be casual and you just don't because you don't want...
I was actually just casual the other week.
Because it's like, you know, I mean, with that being said, it's like, because I've seen like a lot of women, you know, older women that are friggin' hot. And I'm like, man, but, you know, I have the slightest idea how to approach that, you know, because I'm younger. I'm not that much younger, but... You know, if I get turned down or whatever, it's like I'll have a full conversation with them and phone conversations and dates and all that. Then when it comes to that particular area, I've noticed it's, you know, it's been kind of like a total like 180. So now that you said that, it's really eye-opening with that.
And also, like, as you get older, you want more companionship. You want someone to pal around with. You want a, you know, a guy that gets it and understands you and doesn't put a lot of, like, demands on you and all the rest of it. And someone that's really understanding and takes their time when it comes to the sexual part.
Wow. And there you have it. Oh, my God, it was so cool talking to you. Sam Phillips, former Penthouse centerfold, Vivid Radio host. You can check her out on Sirius XM, Vivid Radio. That's Thursdays and Fridays for an hour, 12 to 1 p.m., correct, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, and then also socialunderground.com. Check her out on socialunderground.com. Also, if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's at The Single Life on Twitter, and on Instagram is Sam's Pajama Party, all one word, if you want to check her out on Instagram. But make sure you check out socialunderground.com and check her out on Sirius XM Vivid Radio. And that's Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 1 p.m. Don't miss that 1 hour, because you missed that 1 hour, you missed a lot. And thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Sean. I'm sure we'll talk again. Thank you.
Definitely. And we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.